now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. Blood guiltiness, its only remedy. Certain conditions exist at all times, but some are especially prevalent in our day. My message concerns one of these. It is blood guiltiness. You may never be involved in armed robbery, but you may kill a person with your automobile, or even if due to thoughtlessness, yet you did it. And since in our day the resources of nations are being devoted to war and things to destroy men, and millions work on these projects of death, blood guiltiness stains their hands, even though, like Judas Iscariot, they are well paid. And our generation is laying the foundation for the next generation to be drenched with human blood, and we prepared for it. The modern proverb, "Everything is fair in war," is a sham. Are grace and gas and germs fair? War doesn't make wrong right, nor evil good. Common men use the gadgets of death, but the big bosses who plotted the destruction of nations shall be the first to answer to God for blood guiltiness. God's word throws heavenly light on these modern problems. Come with me then to a palace. From an inner chamber there comes a bitter wail. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation. That wail did not come from a murderer behind the prison bars. It was the king himself in his palace. He was the murderer. No officers of the law had arrested him, but Nathan, God's prophet, had faced him with his hidden plot of death, and he is made to see the human blood on his hands. Nathan said, "Thou hast killed Uriah with a sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon." One day a faithful man of God lay dead on the battlefield. Who killed that man? See now the hands stained with his blood. First, it was the sword of the children of Ammon. Those wicked men hated God's people Israel and wanted to kill the last of them. Their sword did the deed, but behind it was the plot of King David to do away with Uriah so as to steal his beautiful wife. Oh, how wicked! He ordered his general Joab to put Uriah in the hottest part of the battle and on the signal to leave him there alone. If pangs of conscience later seized those fellow soldiers for treating their comrade Uriah so dirty, well might they feel responsible for his blood. As should Joab, for he gave the orders. But greater still was the blood guiltiness of King David, for he engineered it all. No wonder his cry rang out, "Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God." Uriah's righteous blood was on the swords of the children of Ammon, on the hands of Uriah's partners, and on the hands of the general Joab and the King David. From this Bible case, we learn how complex and involving is this sin of blood guiltiness. Many years ago, I was called for a funeral. There in the casket was the body of a young man of 21 who had been knifed to death in a drinking and gambling row. In my message, I charged those older people of the community with that death, for they had taught him to make liquor and drink it too, to gamble and to fight. So now his blood was also on their hands. I advised them, if they determine never to be converted, to move to the mountains and isolate themselves from humanity, lest by their evil influence they ruin other young people. And this is my advice to you who read this message today. As to this sin of blood guiltiness, our Lord Jesus made clear revelation, saying that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth from the blood of righteous Abel. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. Cain started this generation by killing Abel, his brother, and down through the years, Cain's followers have been increasing their deeds of blood, even though the Bible warns, saying, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain." Cain refused Christ, the sacrificial Lamb of God, defending his own works and refusing to repent. His hands were stained with the blood of the righteous Abel. Neighbor, are you following Cain's example? If so, then you are a part of this generation that must answer to the living God for all the righteous blood shed on the earth. What an awful accounting! To answer for the stoning of Stephen, the slaughter of the babies of Bethlehem, the cutting off the heads of John the Baptist, of James the Apostle, and Paul the Aged, for the barbarous torture of Christians in the Dark Ages when the church, as it called itself, killed those who read God's word, for the burning of stakes and casting the lions of Christians in the arenas, Caesar's thumbs down gave the verdict. The thousands in the arena sided with it, and now you too are guilty of all that righteous blood, for by your choice you remain a part of that same crowd, the world, as it resists the Holy Spirit and cries of Jesus Christ, "We will not have this man to reign over us." You may not be a member of the Communist Party or of an underworld murder gang, but you are a member of this generation with your hands stained by all the righteous blood shed upon the earth. Millions of church members scorn King Herod for killing the babies of Bethlehem, while they themselves are as envious of real born-again Christians as Herod was of Christ. God knows their hearts as they follow in the way of Cain and will share his guilt. Neighbor, if you are in that crowd, cry as those of old, "What shall I do?" To such the Bible answers, "Save yourselves from this generation." How? By repenting and turning to the Lord Jesus to be on his side. But the climax of the shedding of the righteous blood was not in a Roman arena, but at a Roman cross. The place was Calvary, and the person was none other than Jesus Christ, the very Son of the living God. This world has yet to answer to God for the blood of his holy and beloved Son. Judas betrayed him. The soldiers bound him. Caiaphas condemned him. The officers clubbed him. Herod set him at naught. The people cried, "Crucify him." The governor wrote the order of his crucifixion. The soldiers nailed him up. The thieves railed on him. They all wanted Caesar as their Lord and King and not Jesus. And now you. Have you turned down Jesus Christ and chosen this world? The world says, the Bible says, "Whosoever will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." God sees on your hands the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. Repent, sinners. Repentant sinners have found in Jesus' blood cleansing from their sins. But for you, that blood charges you before God and cries out to God for his vengeance on you, for your hands are stained with his blood. Oh, how great is your blood guiltiness! There can be no middle ground of two-faced neutrality. For each one of us, it is crucify him or it is crown him Lord of all. Which is your cry? The world that crucified him has not repented of that awful deed, but still curses that blessed name of Jesus Christ. At Calvary, your crowd cried, "His blood be on us and on our children," as they challenged God. If that cry makes you tremble and shudder, then why remain in that crowd? Neighbor, do something about it now. Cain saw blood on his hands and lied about it, but God faced him with that blood. Judas cried in despair, "I have betrayed the innocent blood," and hung himself, but that didn't ease his punishment. Pilate tried to wash off his hands the blood of God's Son. What foolish nonsense. Don't try that. But David went to God about it in repentance, crying, "Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation." Now we turn to the New Testament on this and read, "Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world." What is the sin of the world? The worst sin, the crowning sin. It was the murder of God's Son, and that blood is on your hands. But if you will, in repentance, look to the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God, your Savior, and yield to him as your Lord, then God will cleanse you from that blood guiltiness and from all your other sins too. Renounce this bloody world, and before God, demons, and men, take your stand on the Lord's side as one who loves the Lord Jesus and not one of his murderers. Then there is a third blood guiltiness. God's word declares that all who hear but take not warning, their blood shall be upon their own heads. You've heard the gospel. It's offers of salvation as warnings of judgment, but you have taken no action. God's word cries to you, flee from the wrath to come. But you rock along in your same old rut, and one day God's wrath will swallow you up. And who can you blame? Your blood will be on your own head. You scorned the suicide for killing his own body, but you have damned your own soul. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? If he lose his own soul, you will have sent your own soul to a lost eternity. On earth, a court is held. The judge tries to find who killed that man. But at the great white throne judgment of God, the question will be, who lost that precious soul of yours? Who? You can't blame the devil or the church hypocrites. God says his blood shall be upon his own head. Your hands shall drip with blood as you confess, I did it. I would not heed thy warnings to me, O God, and I sent my own soul to the eternal burnings. Blood guiltiness, oh my neighbor, see on your hands today blood, the blood of all the righteous slain on the earth, blood, the blood of God's beloved Son, blood, as you see your own blood, for you sent your own eternal soul to the everlasting fire. If your sins of lying, cheating, and coveting have troubled your conscience, how must you feel as the Holy Spirit now convicts you of that awful sin of blood guiltiness? I plead with you to truly repent before God and to surrender to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then you will find, as the Bible says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Yes, even from that horrible sin of blood guiltiness. First, confessing yourself bitterly guilty and renouncing your sins, turn now to God, crying with King David, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation. Second, and then in faith, hold up to God as your only plea, Jesus and his precious blood that cleanseth from all sin. Third, and with your repentance and faith, make a complete surrender to Jesus Christ to be your Lord, for you to submit to him and obey him in all things. This is how you can save yourself from this generation, the generation on which shall come all the guilt of all the righteous blood shed on the earth in these 6,000 years, the generation that must face the fury of Almighty God to answer for the murder and heartless cruelty of his beloved Son, the generation of those who barter their own precious eternal souls for the empty thrills of sin in this wicked world, and thus must answer to God for losing their souls worth more than the whole world. God's word that faces you with this threefold guilt of blood guiltiness now cries in your ears, save yourself from this obstinate generation. Save yourself, yes. As certainly as you can lose your own soul, you can also save yourself. How? By your will and choice of Jesus Christ, God's Son, to be your Lord and your Savior. At this very moment, you face this great crisis. You must decide, will you lose your soul forever, or will you save it? True, it was Jesus Christ who alone on Calvary's cross finished the work of salvation that makes salvation possible to you. But when it comes to where is your faith, no one can choose or decide this but you for yourself, as I did for myself. I entreat you, my neighbor, in the interest of your precious soul, choose the living Son of God, Jesus Christ, to be your Lord, your Savior, your King, and your God, and take your stand before heaven, earth, and hell. Christ for me, to be in his kingdom and to obey him now and forever. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.